week. It is our what we're calling our potluck luncheon. Please, if you haven't already, sign up to bring something. We will have the church will be providing I think we're going to provide chicken, but we'll be providing that. So if you could bring something additional to that, that would be wonderful. Also, just to further what Jay said, Jay did a wonderful job, but I hate getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'd rather get up at later time, but we need to be at the school at 6 o'clock on Friday, so we would love to have as much help there as possible. So if you're able to please be there, we have we would love to be there actually Thursday night to set up, but we're unable to because we're having an event in the cafeteria on Thursday night, so we won't be able to set up until Friday morning. So yeah, if you could just plan on being there, that would be wonderful to help us out. Right now, it looks as though we're going to be serving somewhere close to 100 family members. So we will be cooking, Corey and I will be cooking pancakes at a high rate of speed on Friday. So if you can join us, that would be wonderful. We would love to have help. And then also, by the way, we will feed you, by the way. So it's not just the parents. So if you come, you'll get to eat as well. So, all right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James. Now, I will tell you that we've been doing the book of James as a study. We've been studying the book of James as an outline to how we face the battle that we're in today. This Christianity versus today's culture. And if you're following along with me, you'll know that we are in James chapter 3. And if you look at James chapter 3 verse 1, it begins to talk about the lying tongue and gossiping. I am wise enough to know that we will not tackle that subject on Mother's Day. Okay, so we're skipping over that part today to go into the wisdom part because, you know, on Mother's Day, we have to have wisdom. And so we're going to talk about wisdom today, and then we'll jump into the tongue next week. So if you're wondering why we skipped the first half of James, it's because I'm a smart man, Jenny. I'm not a smart man, Jenny, but I know what love is. And I know how my wife would react if I preached on gossiping during Mother's Day. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Let's pause and pray, and then we'll jump in. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you again for mothers, Father. And all of those amazing ladies in our lives, Father, we just lift them up to you now and just thank you for them, Father. We thank you for all that you have done in their lives and all that you are doing. Today, Lord, we ask you that you just help us to understand the scripture that you are given to us about wisdom that James writes upon. Father, give us the understanding of what these scriptures would say to us. Help us, Father, by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and move in our lives and in our minds today. Remove any hindrances and stumbling blocks that would keep us from hearing the word of God in the way that you'd want us to grasp this today. Father, I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words, and that you would help us along this path today as we learn to understand the wisdom of this world and your heavenly wisdom that you give to us, Father. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This battle that we're talking about as we go through this, we understand that it's really night and day. If you could understand the culture that Christ wants in our world today and compare it to the culture that the world wants in our life, it is literally night and day. Nothing is more truer than when we look at the idea of wisdom. What wisdom is and how we achieve that wisdom. See, there is the folly of this world today where it is so unwise in how it does things today. And then there's the wisdom that God gives to us. And that is clearly as night and day as is the culture between Christianity and the world that we're living in today as well. Wisdom is one of those things that is fast becoming absent in many people, if I can say that politely. Or the wisdom of God. Let me put it that way. Because see, the world around us will say that they have wisdom, they have gained understanding, and they have walked down this path, and they know how things should go and how things should be. But when we compare that to Christianity, when we pair that to Scripture, we learn that that wisdom is really selfish in its own right. The world's wisdom today will tell you it's all about you and how you feel. The world's wisdom today is all about ourselves and what we think is important, how we feel. If you feel like it's all right, then it's okay. Go and do what you want as long as you feel okay, as long as it doesn't bother yourself. Well, God's wisdom says, no, it's not about yourself. It's about others. God calls us to be servants. He calls the last shall be first and the first shall be last. All of these wonderful verses, I could go on and on and on to talk about the selfishness of what the world says and how Christianity tells us to be selfless, to be humble, to bow ourselves before the Lord, to give of our own right and mind, to die to ourselves daily. Christ calls us to do all of those things. That is completely opposite from the world that we live in today. 20-some years ago, I was studying in a theology class, and I happened to, I don't know if any of you know who Tim Keller is, a wonderful Christian author, is also a pastor of a church in New York, and I happened to have the immense honor of being able to sit in a classroom of his and to learn theology from him. And he came to Cleveland, and he was here for 2 weeks, and while he was here for 2 weeks, he shared some amazing things. But one of the things that really stuck out to me was he warned of something that's called an absolute. We're living in a postmodern society without an absolute. This was 20 years ago. 20 years ago, this warning was being broadcast by many theologians, it's being broadcast by many people, that we are fast going down a path that says there are no absolutes, and there is no, that means there is no, when we talk about an absolute, when you know an absolute truth, when you say this is the truth, this is absolute, there is no gray area, it's either right or wrong, this is what it is. The postmodern society that we started, and many people believe it actually started way back into the 70s, but we just really started to get a grasp upon this in the 80s and early 90s. But what it meant was that in a postmodern society, what it meant is that no longer was there an absolute. See, for hundreds of years, our absolute was this. Many of our laws that are written in the United States today is based upon Scripture. That was the absolute. You knew when you read the Ten Commandments. When you went into court and you faced a judge or a jury, you would look on the wall and what was there on the wall? The Ten Commandments. That was the absolute. Now we could go through and we could talk about all of those Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt love their mother and father. We could go on and on and on and talk about all of those ten. But they were the basis of morality. They were the basis, they were the absolute law that we followed. So what happened in the 70s, the fast approach into the 80s, and now is the it's like the gas pedal is all the way to the floor and it's running down the path now, is that instead of having an absolute truth, having an absolute God who says this is right and this is wrong, we now have the absolute truth been given to us as individuals that now we become the author of what is absolute for ourselves. And so we begin to say, hey, it's okay if I do this. It's okay if I do that because I think it's all right. It's not hurting anyone else. It's not hurting my neighbors. It's not hurting, but I think it's okay. So what was absolutely wrong just 10, 15, 20 years ago is now okay because we no longer have an absolute truth that we're holding up against. It was being warned about, but Scripture tells us this was coming. Many years before Tim Keller and all of the other postmodern theologians that talk about this, there was also James, who shared about the wisdom of God. There is Jesus who came and said, and Paul, who says that he's going to give them over to their debased mind. I'm using the New King James Version. Would you like that, by the way? What that meant in Romans is that we begin to think in the minds, in our mind, we begin to think about all of the bad things we could do and all of the things that we could stretch and all. I mean, just literally, I started working at, in the business world, I started working at Little Tykes in 1997, actually the year after we got married. And it wasn't until 1999 that I started running the websites. I went out to Colorado to meet a company that was supposed to build our website, and he said, "You have to forgive me because half of our building is dedicated to a business that you're probably not interested in." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "We have decided to align ourselves with the porn industry." And I said, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah." I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because this is the fastest growing technology place in the world. You know that the porn industry today, when you get on your websites today, when you get on Facebook and you get on Twitter and you get on TikTok, 90% of the technology that you're using today was produced and developed by people who work in the porn industry." Now, I say that because that is all true. HTML5, videos, MP4s, all of those things was produced by the porn industry first before it was transferred over to companies to be used in the modern world, the business world that we live in today. I say all of that because, see, technology, there used to be a time when you would do something like that and you would say, "This is not right. I'm not going down this path. I'm not going to do this." But that has been long since gone. That wisdom is long since no longer with us. And so this absolute truth that's holding us up, there's times that, you know, we talk about the still small voice. You ever hear the still small voice? You're going to slap Chaz, and that still small voice goes, "Don't do it," right? I'm kidding. I would never slap my brother here because you're sitting right there. I'm sorry, right? That still small voice picks up in your head and says, "Just don't do it. It's not right." That's an absolute God who has absolute truth, helping to convict you by the Spirit of by the Holy Spirit who's inside of you, so that you don't go forward and do something that you shouldn't do. I used to tell people all the time, "I'm not worried about whether if you get convicted of something you do." Yes, we should not sin. Yes, we should not walk into sin. But if you sin and you're convicted of that sin, I'm more concerned for the people that sin and are not convicted than the people that are convicted by the sin that they do. And the reason why is because if you're convicted, that means you have the Holy Spirit inside of you still working, convicting you of that action that you just did. When we lose that, we're in trouble. And guess what? A lot of people in this world have lost that. If you look around us, in fact, it is fast approaching. I mean, it's just amazing to see. Five months ago, the country of Canada passed a law saying that it was okay for not only abortions to go all the way through birth, but now they're saying abortions are okay all the way through 6 months.
What?
You can fax check me if you want to. Fax check me if you want to. But I have read this multiple times. Do you know that they are quick approaching a rule that says that for us to... anyone in this room would probably tell you that if you went and had a desire to have a sexual relationship with a young child under the age of 12 would be that would be inappropriate and disgusting, right? I mean, that we would hope. There are laws on the books in California and other places today that is now making it okay for you to have a sexual relationship with a child all the way down to the age of 10 years old. This is the world that we live in. This is what they think of wisdom. Why is it getting so bad? It's getting so bad because we no longer have an absolute truth telling us what's going on. And see, before you start to blame the rest of the world, we got to take a hard look at ourselves, though, and say, what are we doing with this absolute truth? Is this do we live by the words that are in this scripture? Do we live by the law that's here? Is this our model of everything? Do we look at this and say, is this okay for me to do this? Is it okay for me to tell my neighbor off? No, it's not. Is it okay for me to slap someone? No, it's not. What does Jesus say about slapping someone? Turn your other cheek, right? And he's not talking about these cheeks. He's talking about these cheeks, okay? Just to make sure you understand.
Both should turn.
Yeah, both should turn, right. James is telling us if we are wise, if we are wise and we have understanding among us, then what should come out of it? Our good conduct should come from that. Your good conduct, meaning your actions should be good if you're wise. If you have heavenly wisdom that you're following Scripture, you're following what Jesus Christ and what the apostles and everyone else who wrote this book tell us, then we should have good conduct that follows with it. That means our actions should be good based upon what we read here. And it shouldn't surprise us that our actions of those that don't follow that book are not good. And it's only going to get worse. This is just the tip of the iceberg. It's going to get worse. Scripture tells us that. If you would read all the way through the end of the book, surprise, Jesus wins. But I'm going to tell you that Revelations isn't going to be a fun time. Tribulation on this earth is not going to be fun. And it's only going to get worse. Wisdom, we must understand that there's clearly two types of wisdom that happens. First of all, wisdom from above, and then wisdom of this world. James gives us clear and distinct differences. The true differences with wisdom starts with the idea of meekness. Did you catch that? Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his work in the meekness of his wisdom. First of all, heavenly wisdom will have responses to having good actions, but it will also have this word meekness. Now, this word meekness was first given to us. We find meekness all over Scripture, but we understand one of the most popular places is Jesus when he does the Sermon on the Mount, right? When Jesus says, the meek shall inherit the earth. What does it mean to be meek? Meekness isn't being a rug that someone steps upon and takes advantage of you. No, meekness is power under control. That's the definition of what meekness is. And so when James uses this word and he says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of his wisdom. Meaning, control the power of the wisdom that you have. You don't go around and say, listen, I'm the smartest man who walked the face of this earth. Anyone want to challenge me? That's not meekness, right? That's rudeness. Meekness is understanding that you have wisdom, but it doesn't come from us. See, all of us who are Christians should thank the Lord. I can honestly say over the course of my career as a business person and as the course of my career as a pastor, there's been so many times that I had no clue what I was doing. Now, before that scares you, what I would do is I'd go into my office in the business world, I'd shut the door, get down on my knees and say, Lord, I have no clue what I'm doing. I don't know how I'm going to do this. You have to show me. That was meekness. Because my power comes from him, and I was going to utilize that power, that connection I have with him. As a pastor, it's often the same way. Go into my office, shut the door, turn off the light, get on my knees and say, Lord, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I need your help. Wisdom from above comes understanding this, that we are meek and that we have the ability and the wisdom that comes from Jesus Christ. See, true wisdom that comes from above is the wisdom that we need to be searching for. You know what's interesting is that God created wisdom. You understand that? He's the author of wisdom. He's the author of who created that. And so just like everything else, what do we do with God's creation? We take God's creation, what's meant for good, and we turn it into something evil. That's what Adam and Eve did in the tree when they ate of the fruit of good and evil. What do? They take it and they use it for bad. Satan deceives them to get them to eat this. But this wisdom that comes from God, he is the creator of this wisdom, the creator of all things. So who is better for us to reach out for that wisdom? See, the world thinks that the wisdom that they receive comes from books, it comes from understanding, it comes from experiences. Do those things give you wisdom? Yes. But where do they start? Where is the beginning of that wisdom? Where's the wisdom that you read when you read psychology books and it tells you this or that? Where's the wisdom when someone comes to you and says, this is what it means for us to be transgender, this is what it means for us to be living in the world we live in today? There is no wisdom to those things. It's based in feelings. It's based in what they think is right. It's based on how they want to feel in themselves. In fact, most of what is done today can be based down to the sexual orientation, the sexual feelings of things. Think about this. Everything that's going on today, most of the issues that we have in this world today are based upon sexual intimacy and how they want to pervert that. The devil has perverted even that most wonderful thing that God has given to and gave to married folk, male and female alone, who is supposed to be this amazing thing. The devil has taken it, and what has he done? He's deceived it and made it into something else. First, he made it a sexual revolution, which means that in the 60s and 70s, you could go out and people began to have relationships with whoever they wanted. They abandoned the idea of having a relationship. They abandoned the idea of, oh, we don't have to be married to have sex. I can do it anytime I want. Now, this it gets really quiet when we start talking about these things, Pastor Chaz. You notice that?
That money.
Yeah, you're right. But it's really interesting. Just think about this. 20 years ago, I've been married 27 years ago. When I was 16 years old, I'm not going to do that. I'm almost 50 now, so 50, Christy, 50 minus 16 is how many years? 34 years ago. 34 years ago, I made a commitment to God. I gave my life to Christ. And when I was down on my knees at this Baptist church with my heart about ready to pound out of my chest, I looked at the Lord and I said, God, I looked up. I knew God was there and I was praying to him. I said, God, I will do anything you want me to do. Because you saved me. That night I go home and I begin to read my Bible and I begin to read things, and glaring out of it, I feel like that God is just saying, I want you to make a commitment to me. That you will not give yourself in sexual relationships with someone that you're not married to. And so I made that commitment at age 16. That I would not enter into a sexual relationship with a woman until I got married. Now why am I telling this story? I'm telling this story because what used to be the norm, right? Think about it. In the 50s and 60s, was it norm for people to go out and have sex before they got married? No. We may be banned from Facebook, just to let you know. But that wasn't the norm. The norm was not to do it. The norm was to live that way. Now, you turn on the TV and it's surprising to find, quote-unquote, people who have saved themselves for marriage. My son, when he was in high school, got teased because he was in health class and he told his health teacher that he wanted to save himself until marriage. And his health teacher laughed at him with the rest of the class, saying, that's impossible, you'll never do it. The course of today, you look at kids, and today the average age of a child having sex when I graduated from high school was about 17 or 18 years old. You know the average age of, yeah, actually 11. 11 years old is the average age. I didn't know their bodies worked that way at 11 years old, let me say.
We didn't have internet to show
them. The reality of it is this is going quickly down another path. Why? Because there is no wisdom behind this. We don't follow any laws. And guess what? Today, it's no different in the Christian church. I know you probably don't want to hear this, but you know 90% of Christians who get married have had sex before marriage. That's a big problem. If you read Scripture and Scripture says not to do it before you get married, that's a big problem. How are we any different? What wisdom are we using? We've allowed the wisdom of the world to deceive us to falling into the world. We've done all of these things. See, the problem of it is that there is both heavenly wisdom and there's worldly wisdom. And what's happening now is that the worldly wisdom is beginning to infiltrate into the church where only the heavenly wisdom should be followed. And we're allowing ourselves to look too much like the world instead of the world looking like us. We must understand that wisdom comes from God and His Scriptures. And true wisdom will say, I will follow what He says and I will follow everything that He says. And, oh, by the way, here's another thing. We got churches today that are reading Scripture and saying, And that wisdom from God was, I know it says this, but this is how I think it should say. And they're perverting scripture to make it say what they want it to say, making their wisdom, supplanting God's wisdom in scripture. There's many Christians, again, by the way, it's not just churches, there's many Christians that do that too. How many times do you read a Bible looking for a verse to support your anger? Let's get honest for a moment, right? If we're going to call out everyone else, we need to call ourselves out too. I've done it before. Oh, you can't wait. I got to respond to Pastor. I got to respond to Corey by saying something. So I got to find, because he may be mad. So I'm going to go here. I'm going to pull out a scripture that support. No. I had to. I almost said Pastor Chad, but then I threw Corey in there. So. Yeah. The absolute truth is about Him. It's about God. The reason why the world has come away from the absolute truth is because they don't want to affirm that there was a God who created us, created this world, and so therefore has an absolute truth. If it's about an absolute truth, if it's about God, that means there's many things in our lives that we can't do because Scripture says we can't. If we remove God, we remove that absolute truth, then we become gods, we become the feeling, we become the law, we become the ones that says this is exactly the way that I want it to be. Worldly wisdom is about us. We make it about us. We make it about what we think is right. We make it about anything else because there is no absolute telling us otherwise. We are the absolute. Each and every one of us is the absolute. That's why I believe quickly you'll see many laws passed in the near future about things that we find just as an abomination today is only going to get worse in the future. Because at some point, when we stop following God, what does Romans tell us again? He gives us over to our debased mind. He doesn't cause you to fall into sin. He gives you over to the sin that's already inside of your mind and allows you to continue going down that path. James chapter 3 verse 14 says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." See, I think James very clearly is giving us the idea of how we can see whether we've fallen into worldly wisdom or godly wisdom. And he starts with this very interesting thing. He says, worldly wisdom produces bitterness, jealousy, and selfish people. We can easily say the selfish part, right? We can see that. The world is all about themselves. Doesn't matter what it makes, it's about how I feel, what I want, what I think is right. That's what matters most. But then there's also this idea of jealous and bitterness. Why is bitterness and jealousy such important? Well, if you understand where worldly wisdom comes from, see, worldly wisdom doesn't come from all of us. As much as we like to think we're smart enough and that we could produce this own wisdom, it doesn't. You know where it comes from? It comes from the devil himself. And what does the devil do? The devil takes everything that God does and he tries to turn it for the bad. We say that God takes everything and makes it good. Well, the devil takes everything good and makes it into bad. He wants to produce these evil, demonic people in their lives. And so what's the best way to do that? If you're bitter, guess what? That's why when a few years ago we did one of I love this Bible study. It's probably something we should do again at some point. But it's called the Beta Saint. Thank you. And why is that so important? Because offended people are bitter people. People who are bitter and offended at something that someone else did, guess what? They become bitter. And when you're bitter about something, you can't hear the good that's supposed to be coming in. You can't see the good that person's doing because you're just offended by what's going on. Again, what's happening is that it's not only bitterness, but bitterness leads to selfishness. Bitterness in its own right is selfishness because Scripture says that we should not be bitter. We should not hold account to our brothers and sisters. We should forgive them. We should walk in humility with them. Does that mean we let them run over us? No, but we should forgive them, not hold offense to them. Bitterness begins to bubble up inside of us, and when that bubbleness starts to happen, it's not the food that you just ate that's bubbling up inside of you. It might stink when it comes out. You guys totally missed that. You know, that was a good joke. I'm sorry. Come on. I don't care who you are. That was funny there. But no, when that bitterness starts to come up inside of you, what does it come out? It comes out as ugliness, as an offense. Jealousy is another one of these things that James says. The worldly wisdom will produce jealousy. Why? Because we can't stand when someone else is more happy than us. We can't stand when the person down the street is doing better than us. Why? Because I have to be as good as that person is. I have to have everything that that person has. I need to have the goods and the services and everything else that they have. I want to have those things. I need to do those things. And by the way, it doesn't stop just with people. That also enters into churches. How many churches are jealous over other churches because they're doing well? How many pastors are jealous of other pastors because their congregation is bigger? Or their congregation does this, or they have these things. I've been jealous about some pastors that have buildings, let me tell you. And I have to ask the Lord to forgive me for those things. But bitterness, jealousy creates selfish people. This is what the world produces. It also produces something else. It produces boasting. How often today? I mean, listen, it doesn't take more than about 5 seconds and go watch a video on TikTok or anywhere else, and you'll find someone boasting about what they've done or what they're doing. That's the whole premise of most of the videos that are on TikTok today, right? Boasting about how wonderful they are and how they can do this or how they can do that or whatever it is. This boasting is, the world is boasting about themselves, and God calls us to boast about who? Him and Him alone. Our boasting should be done in Him, not anything that we've done. Why? Because we are sinful, we are bad, we are ugly, we are all of these things. We need Him. It's only because of what He did on the cross for us and the grace that He's given to us that we can be accepted and we can boast in that, not in the things that we have done. I know that cry. When I'm talking about... When I'm talking to someone about current events, I always ask them, when I'm talking to someone about current events, I ask them usually, where did this wisdom come from? You know, I've had conversations with people before and they talk about, oh, I'm this or I'm that or I'm whatever. This Maddie, right? Where did the wisdom of this come from? You know, most people will, you sit down and you ask, Robert and I were last night watching a video of PragerU. I don't know if you ever watch any of these videos, but someone said, if it's wrong to do blackface, which it is, by the way, and if you know what blackface is, if you don't know what blackface is, it means coloring your face black so you can pretend that you're an African American, right? And that is... That is socially unacceptable today in the world we live in, right? And so the interviewer was asking people, and he asked, he goes, is it okay for me to decide that I'm going to be black? I'm a white man, but I'm going to decide to be black. Is that right? And everyone, of course, that he interviewed or asked this question said, no, it's not right. You are what you are. It's biological. You're white. You're Italian. You're whatever. Those types of things, right? Well, why is that any different than a man who wants to be a woman? That's biological. That's all of those things. But every person that he interviewed, every single person, there's a few that said, I don't know. But every other person he interviewed said, yes, it's okay. It's okay for you to pretend to be a woman when you're a man, but it's not okay for you to be black when you're white. Unless you're a politician, of course. Then it gets thrown out the door. So. Yeah, I know. That's okay. If that happens, by the way, we'll move to a different platform. So. See, the problem with this is that this wisdom that people have and what they think of today doesn't have anywhere based upon anything other than their feelings and what they feel is right. The wisdom that you and I should have from God, we can track all the way back to wisdom that has been not only here for over 2,000 years since Jesus Christ has been here, but since the creation of the world, when God came down, we can say that our wisdom was here before those people were even thought of. That before the world was even created, that's where our wisdom comes from. You find me someone that can beat that wisdom, and I will call you a liar, because you cannot. There is no wisdom on the face of this earth that was created in this earth that was created before God. It's impossible. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's all of those things. And when we stop boasting about ourselves and we start boasting about Him, then our hearts begin to change, because it's not about us, it's about Him. And then we begin to see the fault, because He says where we fault here in Scripture, or when we do good, then we can live the life that He calls us to live. See, the truth of the matter is that the devil is a liar. And the greatest thing that he wanted to do was produce an opposite of godly wisdom. He's done everything he can to turn it upside down. He's done everything he can to make the world call hatred what is good. As a Christian, you can't stand up and say, I believe the Bible says this, because immediately as soon as you say that and you disagree with someone, you're a hatred person, you're a homophobe, you're a transphobe, you're any of these other types of things. Even though I didn't say that I am afraid of those people or that I don't like those people, I love those people. They're human beings. God calls us to love them as we love everyone else. I love the people in our midst who are liars. I love the people in our midst who are gossipers. I love the people in our midst who may be adulterers. I hope none of you are, but if you are, I love you. But the devil says otherwise. The devil makes us think, because we disagree with someone, we hate them. The devil makes us say that just because someone is living a life that way, as soon as you disagree with them, it's hatred, it's any of those phobes or any of those things that you say. But that's just simply not true. See, we have a moral ground that we have to hold. We have to say this is what's right, because this is the God that we serve. This is the basis of our Christianity. It's the basis of all that we are. And by the way, it has existed for all of creation again. Any of these newfound current events that we're talking about today have not been around for all that long. They change themselves to become what is new, what is... Just imagine, you know, the I don't drink beer, but could you imagine the Bud Light commercial that got in so much trouble if it would have came out when I was in high school in the 80s, Christy? Could you imagine that? Jazz, could you imagine that in the 80s? No, in the 80s when we saw Budweiser commercials, it was Bud. Budweiser. It was frogs, right? I mean, come on. It was silly stuff like frogs and horses. Well, horses aren't silly, but the Clydesdales and those types of things. It was feel good. I remember Budweiser had one of the greatest commercials ever, right after 9/11. It was an amazing commercial. The horse running through Central Park, and he stopped and he bowed to the smoke that was rising. It was amazing. That was the most amazing commercial. All of that went downhill when they decided that they're going to change and they're going to decide to do other things. Well, I think it's good, because we don't need Budweiser and we don't need Bud Light, but personally. But the truth of the matter is that Budweiser is just imitating the culture that we live in today. But all of those things are relatively new. Do you understand that all of the things that we talk about today, all of the things that are supposed to be these newfound, I'm woke and I'm all of this and I'm all of that, all of those at most are literally 20, 30, 40 years old. Some of them, if you get into the racial conversations, they can be a little bit longer, of course. But most of them are relatively new. They are searching for redemption. They're searching for what makes them feel right. They're searching for God in their life, but they don't want to admit that they're searching for God. They're trying to fill a God-shaped hole in their heart with the culture and the world that is in around us today. James goes on to tell us, though, But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. God's ultimate wisdom is going to produce these things. Do you see this? When you have God's wisdom, guess what? It's first going to be pure. You're going to love people. You don't care who they are. You don't care what they've done. You're just going to love people. That's going to be pure. That is peaceable and gentle. God's love is peaceable. God's love is gentle. He's going to love people. He's not going to be in an argument with people. He's just going to love them for who they are. Even if they don't agree with them, he's still going to love them. He's open to reason. This gets back to the bitterness and selfish and the things when you're not willing to listen to someone. I can sit down with someone who is an alternative lifestyle, someone who's a transgender, any of those things, and I can sit down and have a conversation with those people. Now, oftentimes they don't want to have a conversation with me because immediately when I say I'm a pastor, they put their, oh, I don't need to talk to you. Why? How am I any different than anyone else? I could be your best friend, and you would never know that. Peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Full of mercy and good fruit. See, this is all true with what's going on in the world today, but as Christians, we got to take a step back and look at this and say, is God's wisdom producing first pureness in me? Is my heart pure? Do I think of people in a pure way? As a Christian, am I peaceable? Am I full of peace? Do people want to come to me and ask me, and are they willing to say whatever they want to me because I'm not going to be angry with them, I'm going to be at peace with them? Doesn't mean that you agree with them. Doesn't mean that they're right. But it means that you are at peace. There's a spirit of peace around you. As a Christian, are you gentle? Are you open to reason? As a Christian, are you full of mercy and good fruits? Whew. We can get back to the fruit idea, right? We talked about this a few weeks ago. But are you producing good fruit in your life? Are you impartial and sincere? Are you following what God asks you to do? Are you doing these things? Are those? We can argue, and yes, we need to argue, and we need to stand up for what is right, and we need to stand up for the truth, and we can look at the world and the culture around us, but at the end of the day, if we're not allowing God's wisdom to change us in these ways, then it's not going to be any good in that conversation we have with people outside of our beliefs. These ideas have to first make a difference inside of us so that we can make a difference in them. You can't share with someone something that you don't have. You understand that? If you don't have peace, how are you going to be peaceful to someone else? If you don't have good fruits and you're not producing fruit, how are you going to share that with someone else? If you're not impartial and you're not kind, how are you going to be kind to someone else? You're not. It starts with us. It starts inside of us. As Christians, we have to produce these things so that the world sees something. The way that we battle... excuse me. The way that we battle this world and the culture that we're in is first allow God's word to make a huge difference inside of our hearts. And then when he starts to make that difference inside of us, then we will understand that it is his ultimate wisdom that's doing that inside of us, and then we can go change the world around us. Tuesday, I had an opportunity to visit Doreen's old stomping grounds. I was at Bristol High School. And... we did school assemblies at Grand Valley High School, and then we went to Bristol and did Bristol High School. And we had Scott Caribou, a friend of mine who does motorcycle ministry. He does a ministry called Ride for Life. And as he's there, he's spinning his tires and doing his wheelies and his, you know, going up on the front tire and all of this stuff. And I'm sitting there going, God, it's amazing how God uses things like motorcycles to bring people to Christ, right? And as we're sitting there and he's doing this motorcycle stunt show, in comes, honestly, I was like, ooh, this is going to be interesting, because in comes a group of Harley riders, literally probably about 15 or 20 of them. They had on the jackets, you know, with their name and their club or whatever it was, and they looked very gruff, I knew what Scott was about. He was going to share the gospel message, and then I had a chance to then pray and be up there with them. And share the altar call. And as these guys drove in, I'm thinking to myself, this is going to be interesting, right? And so Scott does his whole stunt show, and there's probably about 100, maybe 125 people there. And Scott stands up and he gives his testimony about how God changed his life. And then he starts to share an altar call, and we start to pray, and we start to talk about who God is. And I'm watching out of the corner of my eye as we're praying and as we're standing here and we're offering salvation to people, saying, you need Christ, you know, come. And this really older man, but very gruff man, looks up, and he just looked up at me. He had tears streaming from his eyes. And he grabs his two kids and goes, come on. And they went up front. The first three that came up front. And as he comes up front there, and he's waiting, and we're giving the opportunity. I think there's more in the crowd that wants to come to know Jesus Christ, and you need to just come forward. Let it go. And wouldn't you know that one of the men that came in the bike clubs, he leans over to the other guy and goes, the guy goes, yeah, and I'm standing over on the side so I could hear all this. He goes, you need to get up there. And he goes, well, if I do, so do you. And then the next thing I know, they didn't grab hands. But they did both walk out, though. And then several others came up from that group. And then several other guys in the crowd came up. You know, we had 30 people up there giving their life to Christ that night. And I just sat back, and as I'm watching all of this, you know, I'm supposed to be praying with these people and talking to them about the decision they just made and all this stuff. And I sat back and I thought, man, God's wisdom. Who would ever think, you know, I would have never thought burning a tire in the middle of a parking lot of a school district could get someone to come to Christ. But you know what? God's wisdom is way different than ours. And God's wisdom was enough that's exactly what that man needed that day. And there's kids came forward. It was just the most amazing thing. And as I sat there and I looked at all of this that was going on, I thought, this is God's ultimate wisdom. God knew exactly what those people needed to bring to Christ. And it happened to happen through that bicycle. Not bicycle. Scott would kill me if I said bicycle. But sorry, Scott, if you're watching. Of course, it's not on Facebook anymore, so you can't watch. But it was amazing. See, God's ultimate wisdom knows exactly what we need. The most amazing thing about God's wisdom versus the world's wisdom is that He knows all, and we don't. You walk into a situation, you don't know what you're doing, God's wisdom does. All you got to do is seek it out, and He'll give it to you. He promises us. You know, one of the most amazing things that God promises us is, yes, it's His grace and His forgiveness from what He did on the cross in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. But one of the other most amazing things is that He offers us wisdom. So you don't have to be a PhD. You don't have to have a master's degree. You don't have to have any of those things to be smart. You just need God on your side. And you need to have His wisdom. Will you stand with me, and will the worship team come forward? You know, I think about God's ultimate wisdom, and I think about where we're at today and the day that we're at. Could you imagine if there was no moms in our world today? Well, first of all, none of us would be here, right? But if I lived by God's ultimate wisdom, that it's a male and a female, and they come together, and then there's a child, right? No moms, there'd be none of us. But I think back to my relationship with my father and my mother. I had a great relationship with my father and my mother. But there's things that my mom just did that my dad could never do. You know, I'd walk home and I'd tell my dad that I was having a hard time with someone. You know what he'd tell me? Suck it up and go beat them up, right? I'd come home and tell my mom that I have problems with someone, and she'd set me down. She goes, well, what's the problem you're having? And she would have this amazing discussion. Hi. And we would have this discussion, and she would teach me about love. God's ultimate wisdom shows us that there is both are needed. Listen, I'm not taking away from dads, because dads are needed. We need to teach our kids. Yeah, next month we'll talk about dads. But they're needed. But in God's ultimate wisdom, he brought us to this place of what love is. And he shows us the tough love, and he shows us the love that can only come from a mother. There are books and books and books about prayer and how to do it correctly. And there are books and books and books on love and how to do it correctly. But at the end of the day, all of that wisdom that comes in those books on either praying or loving or being a Christian or any of those things comes from him and him alone. So it starts with our relationship in him. It starts with our relationship and what he wants for us. And so may I encourage you today, on this Mother's Day, to seek the ultimate wisdom that only he can give. See, we do need to battle the culture that we're in today. This battle, by the way, is not going to be with guns. It's not going to be with anything other than the love that he gives to us. And we are supposed to share that with others. I can't imagine a better picture of that love and what it's supposed to look like than the reason why we celebrate Mother's Day. The love that comes, you know, looking out at Lena and she's hanging on to Elias there. The love that comes from a mom who's willing to go through all of the pain and suffering for how many hours, Lena? How many hours? 20 hours. Some of you may have gone longer than that. I don't know. But I don't know. I had a kidney stone for a week one time, and that was big enough to cause me a lot of pain. And I didn't get to hold a baby afterwards. You're right. I did. It was a kidney stone. I held it as a baby. I kept carrying that thing, man. Let me tell you. The truth of the matter is that today, all of that wisdom, all of that understanding, all of that love is available to us because what has God has done in our lives. So today, in this day, what I want you to ask yourself is, does the wisdom that James talks about, does the things that James says come true in my heart? Am I pure? Am I gentle? Am I peaceful? Am I open to reason? Am I full of mercy? Do I produce good fruits? Am I impartial? Am I sincere? I think if we were honest, we would say that maybe several of those isn't true for any of us, or we have a difficulty with some of those. So let's be honest for a moment. And just ask the Lord what we can do with that. And how he will provide us that wisdom and understanding. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the wisdom that you give to us. We thank you for the love and the peace and the gentleness and all of those things that come from you. And also, by the way, that comes from our moms. Lord, thank you for all of those things. And thank you that you give us those things freely, Father. Today, Lord, help us before we leave this place to come to an understanding that this is the peace, this is the wisdom that we have to hang on to in our hearts, that we can't battle the world around us unless we have this wisdom, the wisdom that comes from only you, Father. Help us today to be true to those things, to live for you, to love you, to follow you in all of these ways. Forgive us, Father, for not being that way. Forgive us for being bitter. Forgive us for being jealous. Forgive us for being selfish. That's not your wisdom, Lord. But help us instead to follow those things that only can be from you. Forgive us for those times when we are not that way, and help us to draw into those times when we can be and can receive the wisdom that comes from only you. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we sing this worship song, listen, I know some of you in this room or maybe even watching at home online may be thinking to yourself, I've never understood the wisdom of God. I've never accepted that. I didn't just say it in a prayer with all of our eyes closed and all of that because I want you to understand something. The wisdom of God causes us to want to be different. If you've never given your life to Christ before, you've never had that relationship with Him, then let today be that day. But let you have that understanding, that wisdom, not by closing your eyes and hiding it away, but keeping it close to your heart and being open about how wonderful it is. Ask the Lord into your heart. Ask Him to come in and take that place that only He can. Ask Him for forgiveness of your sins. Be truthful in repenting away from those things. And then follow Him. It's more than just a prayer. It's a life change. It's a lifestyle that we must choose to make and to follow. The world today and the culture that we're battling today needs real Christians who are going to stand up and do more than just say a prayer, but who are going to stand up and let these words make a difference inside their heart. If you want to do that today, then I'm going to ask you to come forward, and as we're singing this worship song, I'd love to have an opportunity to pray with you. Or if you have something else you want prayer for, we'd love to have an opportunity to pray with you as well. But let's sing this worship song, knowing that God's wisdom is the true wisdom that we need. And then if you've never done that before, come forward. Let today be that day.
Thank you.
I will build my life upon your love. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come before you and to celebrate our moms, to lift them high above to you, Father, to ask your blessing to fall upon them. May today be a day of celebration for those that brought us into this world. But Lord, may we also leave here with the understanding that we must have your wisdom, Father. How to navigate this world that we live in. How to walk the streets that we walk upon. How to be in the conversations that we're in. How can we have your wisdom so that the world can see the love that comes from you, Father? Help us today and every day of our lives to do that. Help us to follow you. Help us to have that wisdom that comes from you. We honor you, we praise you, we glorify you today in your most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Happy Mother's Day. We'll see you again next week.